I appreciate Josh having the confidence in me. I don't count it. Me and David last week was talking, and I made a comment. It's been a minute since I preached. It's been a while. But I said, I ain't preached in a while. I said, I'm in one of those dry stages. I'm in that desert. I've done a devotion about Moses. He had three stages of his life. He had the Egypt life where he was in the world. He learned everything about the world. He had the desert place where he grew and learned about God. And then you had him lead, the last stage was him leading the children of Israel, doing what God purposed in his life, right in the will of God. But I was in a desert place, and I said, God, I told David, I said, pray. Let's pray that God opened up some doors for me to preach. And this week he did. I preached Sunday down at Atlanta Mission. I'm preaching here tonight, and then this coming Sunday, I'm preaching down in Chipley, Florida. So y'all just pray for me on that, and I thank God for opening those doors. Now, I'm going to have two spots I'm going to have you to turn to, but Revelation chapter 14, verse 2 will be my text tonight. But I want to talk about the voice of God. About the voice of God. And the sermon is tonight is, have you heard God's voice? Have you heard God's voice? Now in Psalms 29, I fell in love with it after I've been studying this thing out, and after reading what it says, I think it's the thread, it's the piece that puts God's voice all together. If you want to learn what God's voice is, Psalms 29, 3 through 11 will give you the answer to God's voice and how you use it. Now, I'm not going to go through everything. All my notes, I've got 8 pages right here just on Psalms 29. But I'm not going through all that. But I will hit and cover before I get to my message. I just want to talk about this because I want you to realize how important it is to listen for God's voice. Okay? I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm not going to read chapter 29, but I'm going to talk about in verse 3, we see a voice over the waters. Okay? All right? In verse 4, we see the voice of power and majestic. In verse 5, we see the voice breaking the cedars. Now, you want to study something, I'm talking about the cedars of Lebanon, how strong they stood. And his voice can break those. Okay? That is very important. All right? In verse 6, we see the voice that's shaking mountains. Y'all, God's voice can shake you. All right? In verse 7, we see the voice dividing the flames and the fire. Amen? We see, and also in verse 8, we see that the voice shakes the wilderness. All right, in verse 9, we see the voice that affects life itself. Y'all, it's a voice that affects life itself. The later part of verse 9, we see the response to worship through his voice. Amen? Now, doing this, the reason is I'm doing that is because I want you to understand what God's voice is before we get into my text. Okay? Now, it's the thread throughout all the Bible. It starts with God said in Genesis. Okay? Amen? It starts with God said. God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? And God said, let there be light. The first God said. But it ends with the words, amen. And if you saw the word amen is very important to understand in Revelations there, chapter 3, verse 14, is that it is Jesus. It ends with Jesus, the voice, the Word of God that came flesh. Okay? You can't have a voice without what? Words. You can speak up here all day. If words ain't coming out, your mouth is moving, but no words, you ain't got a voice. Okay? But that's what, I'm getting to that point of this because what it does. Now, here's a thread line of Psalms 29 through the Bible. Through the whole entire Bible, From Genesis to Revelation, God's voice is in the creation in Genesis. Okay? These are just study notes. I ain't even going touching the notes, what I've got on this. Okay? See, in Genesis, we see God's voice creates everything. We see this in Psalms. God's voice controls everything. Amen? All right? Second, we see the God's voice at Sinai, the law and authority of God. Okay? You say, well, what was that? Well, at Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus, God's voice is described with thundering, lightning, and fire. The same imaginary images in Psalms 29. Same images. Okay? You go on, and the third there's God's voice is through the prophets. Through the book of Isaiah and the book of Jeremiah, the voice of the Lord speaks messages of warning, correction, and hope. Y'all, that's God's voice. It's what it's supposed to do. All right? You see this in Psalms 29 as it shows raw power. The prophets show purpose behind that power. That's what the prophets are for. All right? The fourth thing is God's voice in Jesus. This is the clearest expression, okay? The clearest of all. In the New Testament, something shifts. God's voice is no longer just heard. It's embodied into Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 14. Amen? See, the word logos, which is where we get that, God's voice expresses a person. He calms the storm, echoing Psalms 29, authority over the waters. Amen? All right? His voice raises the dead, created power again. Amen? He speaks with authority and grace. Y'all, the grace of God is the reason we're here. Amen? All right? The connection there is Psalms 29, the voice over creation. Jesus' voice within creation walks among the people. Amen? Fifth one is the voice. God's voice is a spirit, eternal, not just external. It's internal. Where's the spirit live? Within us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 tells us that. Amen? See, the book of Revelation, God's voice sounds again, thunders and many waters. Amen? This mirrors Psalms 29 most exactly. And the connection part of this, and the big thread is, when you put it all together, it speaks creation. He speaks the world into existence. He speaks the law, establishes His order and holiness. The prophets calls people back to God. Jesus becomes personal and visible. Spirit becomes internal and relational. And then Revelation completes all things. Amen. That's just in Psalms 29. Amen. Amen. And the reason I'm saying that is because what I have here, let me make sure I ain't getting them other notes. But it is what God's voice is. Now, we're going to pray real quick, then we're going to go to Revelation chapter 14. Let me get over there. Verse 2. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the night. God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I count it as a privilege to stand in this church and preach your word. And Father, I ask you, Lord, hide me behind the cross, not let me be seen but you. And Father, I ask you, Lord, if there is someone that doesn't know your voice here tonight, doesn't recall the day they accepted you as Savior, Lord, Father, I ask you, Lord, to prick that person's heart, show them their lost condition before it's too late. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 14, verse 2. Now, listen to what John describes three things as God's voice. He says, I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, as the voice of great thunder, and I heard a voice of harps harping with their harps. Amen? Now, these three things that you hear, that you see And verse 14 is also listed in Revelation 19. Okay? This is not a coincidence. You just seen over in Psalms 29 about the many waters. I'll be using that as a text. But the most people ask, how do you know it's God's voice? Does God still speak? Yes, he does, y'all. See, the question ain't is does he still speak? It's the question is, are you listening? Amen? The question should be, are you listening? Are you got your ear, are you got too much noise around you that you can't hear? Because I'm telling you, if you don't get alone and you don't get with God's word, how do you know his voice? Because this book is alive, y'all. It's him. This book is God's word. It's one way he speaks to you. I didn't know I was a sinner until I knew the law, was what Paul said. Yeah. The law taught me I was a sinner. Amen. That's how you know, is by the word of God, how it corrects your life and how you go through things. Right. The first thing we're going to look at, the voice of many waters. Now, this voice of many waters is something I showed David a video, and I was going to play it up here, but I can't. Because it's a picture that I took live, and it's just shortly, all right? But I've been to waterfalls. I'm hoping some of y'all have been to waterfalls. Y'all know what a waterfall is. Wow. Or a body of a river that's flowing really fast, really loud. Yeah. I was at McDonough Fall in Montana, up there at Glacier National Park, and we came to this place, and it was deafening. It was McDonough Fall. We got on the bridge, the observation deck, and we got out there, and that water was deafening. Not only could I hear it, but I could feel it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Amen? That's the same way with a waterfall. Not only can you hear it, but you can feel it. That's the way God's voice is. Amen. Amen? God's voice is the same way. Not only can you hear it, but you can feel his voice. It's not about emotions. Let me get this clear. It's not, emotions has nothing to do with God's voice. But it'll make you emotional. Amen? It'll make you emotional. Because that's what God's voice does. All right? He's describing here, I heard a voice from heaven, a voice of many waters. He's describing something that John knew something about. He knew what many waters were. In the book of Revelation, he's describing things only he knows how to describe them. He's describing something that you and I would relate to. If we were to go to a waterfall right now, you would feel it. But you would hear it way before you felt it. Now, listen to this. See, this voice is overwhelming. All right? It's a voice of overwhelming. Josh, I'll tell you, October 6, 2002, the day I got saved, it was overwhelming. Amen. That voice was speaking to me to be saved. Yes, yeah. To assure that he was constantly on me. Not only could I hear it, but I felt it. Y'all, that's like that rush of wind. I felt it. That's what water gives when it falls. When it's rushing like that, it gives wind. It pushes. Ain't that what Jesus said? You don't know where the wind, you listen to the wind where it goes or comes from? In John chapter 3? Think about it. Now, I'm a guy that ties in Scripture. I like using Scripture. I like tying Scripture with Scripture. That's the way I preach. That's the way I was taught to study the Bible. I don't preach things I don't think. I don't preach things that I think so or I believe this way. I believe what the Word of God said, and that's what I preach. Why? Because your eternity depends on it. Amen? See, it's consistent. God's Word is consistent, y'all. The closer you are to God and His Word, the more He speaks. It continues. People say, I ain't heard from God for a long time. Where'd you leave Him? Because you left Him. He didn't leave you. Amen? But it's impossible to ignore. It's impossible. That day in that deer stand, I couldn't ignore it. Eternity. I had to make a decision that day to accept him or to deny him. It had to be a choice that day. And that's what I believe John is speaking here when he says about the voice of many waters. It's a voice that is grabbing a hold of you and telling you, I'm God. Okay? See? God's voice is abundant and always flowing. Them rivers never run dry. Niagara Falls has been falling ever since it was created by God. Amen? And it's still falling. The water is still going over that edge till today. But think about this. Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 2. And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like the noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. Amen? All right? But also, not only is God abundant and always flowing, but it surrounds us. That noise consumes you. It goes all the way around you. It does. There's no part. God is always there, always around you. He's got your back. He's got your side. He's got the other side. He's got your front. He's always around you. Amen? You say, well, what does that mean? Even when we don't notice it. Listen, what this is how it came along with Psalms 29, because verse 3 says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth, and the Lord is upon many waters. He's upon it, y'all. Not only is he upon it, he's above it. Amen? He controls it. You ever think about the storm? Katrina, everybody knows about Katrina, right? Everybody knows about what that storm, how powerful that water. Water is powerful. Y'all, I done the airport over here off of Stockmar Road, and I've done all the silt fence. I seen metal poles that was put 6 inches apart bending L's because water was rushing down through there. T-post that wasn't but 4 foot long. We drove them in the ground. It would bend them as L's. It moves houses. It moves mountains. It moves earth. Water is a powerful thing. So is God. God can move. God can move you. Next thing, it carries life. Okay? This that water carries life. Listen to what John chapter 7, verse 38 says. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's a great thing about water. It gives you life. Remember the woman at the well? Amen. That woman said, if you knew who I was. No, Jesus said, if you knew who I was. Yeah. Amen. If you knew who I was, you would ask me to give me drink. Yeah. Amen. Because out of him flows living water. Because water is life. What is it? You can't go without water how many days? 7 days. It's been proven. You have to have water, y'all. Your body is essential to water. And God knows that because he created you. Amen? See, God speaks through his word, his spirit, and even through life circumstance. Y'all, God speaks through those things. The things that you go through, God knows. God is trying to move you through one of these three voices that I'm fixing to show you. But the question is, are you listening? See, some people have to get put on their back before they listen. I don't want to be on my back. I don't want to be put out of commission because I ain't listening to God. I want to listen to him. I want to have my ear to the ground. I want my ear keen to what God's word is saying. And the only way I do that is stay in his word. Now, I'm not bragging when I do a devotion. Most of y'all men know in here because I seen your devotion. I do a devotion every morning. I started over a year ago, and I was scared. David knows this. I was scared to death to start sending this devotion to other people because I felt like I was going to be vulnerable. Judgment would come. All right, that was me. But started doing this devotion that holds me accountable. Amen. Some of you get it at 5:30, sometimes a little later every morning, but I send it out every morning. Not only sent to you, the people in this room, but I sent it out to about 80 people total. Why? Because what God touches me with might touch you. And what I'm dealing with, you might be dealing with. And all I'm trying to do is encourage you to get in God's Word. That's all I'm doing. My family was complaining because the devotions was too long. They said, "Will you not shut it?" I was sending it to them 6-8 months before I started sending it to anybody else. They said, will you shorten it, Gary? Will you shorten it? I said, "Yeah, I'll start shortening them." I said, but you know, I sent a text one day. David was there when I'd done this. Me and David worked together if you ain't figured this out yet. But I was sitting there, and I got upset. And a text came across, "Can you not shorten these up?" And I said, "Bless God, if you can," I said, "you can do everything. You can be on Facebook for an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Come on, preach.
But I sent a 10-minute or 5 to 10-minute devotion, you can't even read it? What's more important?" David said, "Man," I said, "I sent it," but he said, "That might have been a little harsh, but it was truthful."
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, you can do everything else. You can watch TV, watch sports for hours, but you can't spend 10 minutes on a devotion and read it. Amen. See, but the thing is, we're drowning them out with what? Noise. Things in our life. Things. Second, he goes on. He goes, "Not only a voice of many waters, a voice of great thunder." Now, I want you to think about this thunder. Now, I've been thinking about this thunder. And really, you ever heard thunder? Really close? Lightning hits, and what comes after? Thunder. You ever been in a house that got shaken by the thunder? When's the last time your house has been shaken? Now, I'm not talking about your house. I'm talking about your body. When's the last time it's been shaken? Personally, yes. Because why? Because God still speaks that away. Why does he speak that away? He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to make you move, correct you, or move you in a certain way. That's what John is trying to tell you here. His voice is like a great thunder. It's loud. It's shaking to your core. And it's not the salvation part of it. Now it can be that way, but it ain't talking about your salvation. The salvation comes with the water, because it comes out of Jesus. It comes living water. Out of the water. And by the way, the washing, we read over in Ephesians that the water is what? Cleansing to us. It washes us through his word. He ain't talking about that. He's talking about shaking you to move you in a direction he wants you to go. That's what God wants tonight. He wants you to be moved in a certain way, to be in a place where he wants you, out in his will and not yours. The best thing, when I first went to work with Amley, and David knows this, and I've dubbed him 1,000 times if I said it once, I felt at peace because I was directly where God wanted me, in the will of God. I said, "I don't know why he wants me over here, but I'm here." I didn't move up. When I moved over there, I took the same pay as I was making. I moved directly over there, and I just went to work there because God wanted me there. And for 4 years, I didn't know why, but I do now. Because there's lost people over there, y'all.
Yes, sir.
There's lost souls over there that God wanted me to get in contact with and touch and teach and show them what a Christian was. Amen. And by the way, I don't want to get ahead of my devotion, but I want to say this. Me and David's talked about this. Me and him talk about a lot. Iron sharpens iron, y'all.
Amen.
Get around a godly man. Put yourself in question the Word of God. Talk about the Word of God, because I'm telling you right now, it sharpens you. But I got a question. Who's calling you a Christian? Are you calling yourself or are they calling you? The Word of God says they called him. They didn't call themselves. So who's calling you a Christian? Hey, I ain't trying to step on your toes. I ain't trying to beat you on your head. I'm trying to get to your heart here tonight. I'm trying to make you realize this is what God is talking about, the thundering. He wants you to be moved to do what God wants you to do, not what you want to do. The will of God, His will, none shall perish. But you read over there, but His will is to make you conformed into the image of His Son in Romans. Y'all, that's what God wants out of you tonight. He wants you to be that great awakening, authoritative. See, thunder is loud. It's commanding. It's impossible to ignore. It's impossible to ignore. You can't, when thunder's like, hey, you better duck. Hey, Dwayne will remember this. We was framing a house over there in Cobb County. Lightning hit the tree behind the house. It shook the house so bad. I thought it was going to bring down the floor above us. That's how hard it shook. Thomas Ray, y'all don't know if any of y'all know Thomas Ray. He was working with us at the time. He came in there. He had that curly hair. It was sticking straight out. What caused that? Lightning? Thundering? That's what causes it. Y'all, it is powerful. What does this mean? It means God's voice carries authority. God's voice carries authority. Listen to what Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day of the morning that there was thundering and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mount. Talking about Mount Sinai. This was Moses. And a voice of the trumpet exceeded loud so that all the people in the camp trembled. Amen. The fear of the Lord is what? Beginning of acknowledgement. That's in Proverbs chapter 1, by the way. Do you fear when God speaks? I do. I'm scared. Every time I get behind a pulpit, I'm scared to death. God, please don't let me say something I ain't supposed to say. God, please don't let me do something that's not pleasing to you. Let me edify and lift your Son up. That's what I pray, because why? I fear what God can do to me. Amen. Amen. Not only it carries authority, but it brings warnings and convictions and direction. It brings what? Warnings, convictions, and directions. Listen to what John chapter 2, verse 28 and 29 says. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. Amen. Verse 29, the people therefore that stood by and heard it and said, it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. They heard the voice of God and they said, thundering. The scripture backs up what John is saying here. It's thundering. But not only is it warns and convicts and authority, but it shakes us out of complacency. Amen. Amen. You know what? A lot of people do not want to move.
You're right.
It happened to me Sunday. I went over to I visited a church over. I ain't going to say the church, but I went in there and I sat down. I was there for Sunday school, went through Sunday school, and I sat in there, and a lady come in. She said, hey, I think you're sitting in my seat. I said, that's fine. I'll move on up here to the front row. I'm okay with that. Because the complacency, she had to sit in that same exact spot every time. God don't want us to get in ruts. That's a rut, y'all. That is a rut that people get into. They get in that. I've done a lot of mudding when I was in my younger. I don't do that because it tears up the vehicles. But there's one thing I learned when I was mudding. You stay out of the ruts. You stay up on the edges of them ruts. And you get up there and you ride along the edges. You don't get down there in the ruts because it'll get you stuck. And you can't get out of that rut until you get at the very end. That's one thing you'll learn about mud riding. You have to stay out of the ruts. Because if you don't, you'll get stuck and you'll stay in it until you come out.
Amen.
That's what a lot of people are. They're in ruts. They're in things, they're doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. Ain't that insanity? Ain't that the real definition? They don't want to move. They don't want to change. Because why? They're in that rut. They don't want God. Hey, I'm happy, and I'm happy right here where I'm at. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, it tells us your faith grows because it says you add to it. You add unto your faith. Faith grows faith. How are you going to grow your faith if you're in the rut? Huh? That's because that's what we need to do. We need to get moved because God is warning us. See, sometimes God speaks in a way that disrupts your comfort. Through convictions, corrections, or sudden clarity. Sometimes it's clear as a bell. That happened to me Sunday. Clear as a bell. I woke up Sunday morning and knew where I needed to be. Amen? Why? Because I hear His voice. Because I'm in His Word. His Word guiding me. Because it's life. It shows me where I need to go and what I need to do. When things come along in my life, chaos comes around, I can read this right here, and God can calm that storm, or He'll calm me. Amen. Amen? But next is the voice of the Lord is powerful, full of majesty. Listen to what Psalms, he says it over in Psalms 29, verse 4 and 5. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. In verse 5 of 29, it says, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Y'all, these trees were unbreakable. They believed they was the best trees, the strongest trees around. And God can break them with His voice. Y'all, I'm telling you, have you ever tried to break a tree? Being laid across a creek and you walk across and you're trying to break it or something, you're trying to bounce on it, you're trying to break, and it's tough to break. I've done that many a times. Sometimes I break it and sometimes I don't. Sometimes it hurts me because I'll bounce and it bounces me off. But that's the way it is. That's what God's Word is saying. Hey, He can break you. How many of you have been, you don't want that part of God's voice. You want to get to listening and hearing His Word before He breaks you. Because when it breaks, it hurts. And Christian life is not already easy. We read that over there where Paul, he tells Cornelius, hey, he's going to suffer for my name's sake. Christian life is not a bed of roses. It's not the glory of what, but it is a life I'd rather live than I live out there in the world. Amen. Next, he says over to here, it says the voice of harps. This is the voice that many people describe God's voice is. It's soothing. It's settled. And I say that because I was over in Cambodia. There was a lady playing a harp in the lobby of the foyer there, and it was up two or three stories there. We came over to the balcony. You could hear the harp way before you get, but it was soothing. It was refreshing to my ears. It was comforting. It was peaceful. Now, I don't know if any of y'all know Paul Hill. He's a pastor down there in Florida, down there at Brehan at Chipley. And he was telling me, I was telling him about this. He's sharing about the four hallelujahs that I was shared with David. He shared with you. And I shared this with him about the voices. He said, oh, Gary, he said, I'd never realized that. He said, I was in the hospital just today. A lady was playing the harp, and I could hear it. He said, it was so smoothing and so settling to my soul. Remember over there in David? Over in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23, and it came to pass. Remember, Saul said, hey, I got an evil spirit from the Lord come upon me. He's calling people to help him at this moment. And David, finally Jesse says, go over there for him. They finally get to David, and David goes over and plays. And it says, it came to pass when the evil spirit from the God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hands. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. That's what the harp is, y'all. It's soothing. It's a small, that small, still voice. It's that voice. Remember what he said over here in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 11? He said, "Go forth and stand upon the mountain of the Lord, before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain, and it brake in pieces in the rocks there before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in an earthquake." In verse 12 it says, "And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after that, a small, still voice." Amen. He was in that small, still voice. That's where the Lord's at, y'all. A lot of times in our lives, He's in that calming part of your life. That's where that's the part that you're going, hey, chaos is coming around and family's in the hospital. I'm thinking about Sister Cheryl right now, Bearden. Robert, it happened on Sunday at 3 o'clock. She had to call and get the ambulance over there. He's having a heart attack at the moment. Chaos was coming around. That's when that small, still voice of God comes. Y'all, that's the peace that passes all understanding. Because that's what gives you, that heart gives you peace. Now listen to what it says here. It reflects melody, harmony, and peace. That's what the heart represents. Okay? One of the meanings is God's voice is gentle and comforting. Amen. I love that voice. Amen. I love that when it's like a mama holding a baby and it's singing the song to it. And by the way, it's singing the singing too. I'm going to bring that out about the songs. He's in that singing of it. By the way, it's just a side note. God's in the singing. What's the biggest book in the Bible? That's just a side note. There's a reason behind that. Because He wants us to sing unto Him, praise Him. Amen. It's comforting. Listen what it says. But it's that small, still voice there in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. He's not in all this other stuff. He's in the small, still voice. But not only that, it brings peace, joy, and reassurance. Okay? Amen. I love that. Hey, this ain't a shouter, but I expect an amen every now and then. Because these are good. Listen to what Psalms 23, verse 2 and 3 says. "He maketh me lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me by still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake." That's the peace He's talking about. As a shepherd leads his sheep, and why does he lead them? Because if he pushes them, they scatter. He leads them by still water because rushing water will scatter them. They're timid animals. Just study out what the sheep do. By the way, one of the best studies ever done was Psalms 23. Study it out about a shepherd's love. Amen. But not only does it bring peace and joy, brings gentle and comfort, but it restores the soul. Amen. It restores. God speaks to your soul and it restores it. David said, "Restore the joy of my salvation." Now that tells me right there, Satan can't take your joy. That's what it tells me. He can't take your salvation, but he can take your joy. You know why this church? I've been paying attention to this church for a while. And y'all got something over here. Y'all singing is incredible. I listen to it. Josh knows I listen to it. David knows I listen to it. I'll play it at work loud and proud on a big screen. And I know what God, y'all got something special. Y'all singing over here. The Spirit's moving over here. Don't take it for granted. Amen. 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 Because I'm telling you right now, God is moving over here. I believe it. But it restores the soul. Amen. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. "The Lord thy God is in the midst of the mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in, we will rest in His love. We will joy over thee with singing. Why singing? Why would He say singing here? Because it's so important. Listen, what there's plenty of spots in the Bible, but Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 really tells us about the singing. He says, speak unto yourself with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make a melody in your heart unto what? The Lord. Amen. Y'all, it does something when you go around and you sing. Me and David was doing that this morning. We was punching the corridors. We were sitting there. I started off with, this little light of mine, I will let it shine. Now, I don't know the rest of that song. I wasn't raised in church. I don't know that whole song. But David started singing all up, and I said, hey, never heard none of that. But I wasn't raised in church. I didn't get saved until I was 29. I never owned the Bible until I was 29. I was sent to church, but I wasn't raised there. I didn't want to go. I didn't go. Dwayne will tell you that. But I'm telling you, these songs, you put a melody in your heart, and you'll sing unto the Lord. You're giving Him honor and praise. And there, by the way, everywhere it says about singing, it's about praising Him. It's about giving Him glory, honor. Read Psalms. That's reading. I say Psalm. Read Psalm. David's talking about singing all through the Psalms. Every one of those Psalms is a song. Amen. See, not every word from God is loud. It's not. It's not going to be the voice of many waters. It's not going to be the thunder, but it will be that small, still voice sometimes. But it can be the many waters. To a person that's lost, doesn't know Christ from the free pardon of sin, that might be the water that you need. That might be the sound that God needs to touch you right now. To shake your core, shake you so that you realize who you are, truly are, a sinner needing a Savior. That's what the voice of many waters is. But you might, sometimes you might need that thunder. You might be moved. I always think about, as Paul said, why you kick me against the pricks, as they would take a cattle prod and poke them to make them move. I think of that. You would take and poke it, and it would you make that cow move in the direction you want it to go. But that might be the sound you need. You might need that thunder. You might be shaken to the core. It shakes you. You realize that's God speaking. But then it might have this voice here, small, still voice. Sometimes He whispers and whispers peace in your storm. Yes, sir. Yeah. He has mine. Yeah. And most Christians, that most people are saved by the grace of God, hold their hands up to that. Amen. Yeah. Because why? Because He spoke into your life before. Peace. It might be chaos around you. You can sit there and people just going, hey, I don't know what I'm going to do. But God's saying, it's all right. I got this. Amen. Amen. Not only do I control the waters, but I can speak everything about it. I can destroy, move mountains for you. I can split valleys. I can cause the earth to swallow up your enemies. Don't think God can't. God can do it. But if you only listen for the thunder and the many waters, you'll miss the heart. That's all you listen to, then you'll miss the heart. Y'all, that harp is where we need to be at. Because why? He's done got your attention. He's done moving you in the direction He wants you to go. Now that small, still voice is telling you to do things. Go up to certain people and tell them about the Lord. Tell them about, hey, this be all right. You can comfort them in their storms and say, hey, I've been where you're at. It'll be okay. God pulled me through it. See, that's why He describes this. But have you heard His voice? Have you? That's a question. That's one of the best. One of the questions I ask when we go out to lunch. And I'll do this, and I'll say, hey, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'll ask the waiter. They ask me questions, what do you want to drink? I can ask them one. Amen. Hey, all you got to do is, David will tell you, all you got to do is kick the door open. God allow you to go through it. Amen. You got to get away from your fears. Because remember what I said, who's calling you a Christian? Are you calling yourself one? Hey, that Christian name has been tainted. It's been put in the mud. Sure. But the ones that call you a Christian, you ought to be proud of that. Because when they're calling you one, that means you're taking on. Because to be Christian, you got to be Christ-like. Amen. Amen. See, God's voice is like many waters, always flowing. It's like thunder, it's impossible to ignore. It's like a heart, peaceful in beauty. I got one more page. See, he speaks in power, authority, and tenderness all at once. Oh, that is so soothing to me. Here's the thing. This is at the end here. Are you tuned into God's voice? I got three questions. Are you tuned into God's voice? Are you ignoring his warnings? And are you receiving his peace? One of those three is happening in your life right now. One of those three is happening. You just got to be keen to what God says. Because John chapter 10 verse 27 says this, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. By the way, are you following? Are you leading? Y'all, and I know Josh is following God. God has put him over leading this church, but he's following the Lord as a shepherd should. Amen. As Moses did in the wilderness, he followed God. He didn't get before the fire, and he didn't get before the cloud, pillar by fire in the day. If Moses got in front of that, then the children would be left behind. The sheep would win astray. Y'all, do you know his voice? Are you following him? Ask that question to yourself. Are you following him? Are you doing what he's asking you to do? Because if you're not, then you need to have a heart check. Amen. See, God is still speaking. God is still speaking. The issue is it isn't his silence, it's our attention. Are you paying attention to his voice? Let's pray. I don't know if y'all want to come get a song or what. I don't know if anybody in here needs to come do business, but the altars are open. But I'm going to pray and I'm going to give it over to you, Josh. Father, I ask you, Lord, use these voices to speak to us here tonight. Father, not only here tonight, but God, that we'll hear these voices throughout the rest of our lives, Lord God, that God will follow you in everything that we do. God, lead us to where you want us. God, put the people in front of us that you want us to speak to. Give us the ability and the courage to speak up. Because the Bible's clear, if you're ashamed of him, he'll be beforehand. If you're ashamed of him to others, you'll be ashamed of him before the Father. And Father, I don't want that. I want to be boastful, not for my sake, but for you. To be boastful because I want to speak words to others about you. Let the Holy Spirit lead us, Lord, in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Josh.